Okay, today's daf is Baba Basra, daf Ayin Gimel, and we are at the beginning of a new perek. Just scheduling note, I think the next couple of days will be put up from the last cycle. Yanim of Yantif getting ready, so Beth Hashem Monday, though, we'll have it back here. The next couple of days will be from the last cycle, and then we'll take it from there. Okay, but today, right now, we have the beginning of Hamocher Es HaSvina. So, the Mishnah in the beginning of the Gemara starts discussing the topic that we have been discussing in the last parak as well. If somebody sells something, so what is included? So we had in the last parak, if somebody sells a house, if somebody sells a chatzer, if somebody sells a sade, if somebody sells a city, right? All of those were discussed in the last parak in Hamocher Es Habayis. So now we get into what happened if somebody sells a boat, somebody sells a svina, so what is included in the svina? The umdana of the various people involved, what would we assume? So the Mishnah says, Hamocher Es HaSvina, but as we'll see, the beginning of this parak is not known for the halachic part of the matter. We'll see what comes up. Hamocher Es HaSvina, Mocher Es HaToran, Ve'es HaNeis, Ve'es HaUgin. The Gemara will talk about each of these, what they are, but we'll just translate them basically. Somebody sells the boats, and then they sold the mast, and the sail, and the Ugin. We'll have to see what the Ugin are. And Ve'es Kol HaManhigin Osa, and everything that is used to help steer the boat. Everything that is used to direct it, that's all included. Aval, because those are all kavua parts of the boat. As we saw in the last previous parak, anything that's more kavua, that's more mechubar, that is included. And if not, if it's metaltal, then it is not included. Aval lo machar, lo es ha'avadim, velo es ha'martzufin, velo es ha'antichi. But not included are the avadim, the workers that are on the boat. The Meiri says that those are not miyuchad for the boat. You can come and bring your own workers. You can do it yourself. That's not considered an integral part of the boat. Veloas amartzufin, or the big sacks that have the merchandise on the boat. That's also not connected to the boat directly. Veloas antichi, or any of the other cargo that is on the boat. That is just happens to be there, but it's not part of the boat itself. The ubizman sha'abad lo hi v'chobasha besoch ha'ri kulu b'churit. But if I say everything in the boat and everything in it, so then that is all machar as well. The Rashbam points out that regarding the boat issues, as we have here, there is no difference between the case of mechira that the Mishnah talks about and hekdesh and matana, which we were mechalik, but in the last parak, when we discussed, maybe, even if you want to say mocher is ba'ayin ra mocher, but when it comes to nose matana or hektish, there will be different halachas. We had that back on daf ayin aleph, but the Rashbam here says, v'haynu tam, in the beginning, the first couple of skinny lines, t'kal hani d'chashivna b'pirkin de la'el, b'es ha'merchad z'b'es ha'bad v'ir v'sadeh, kulum mikar koininu, v'kal hani d'chashiv lo machar b'telim ksas agabon l'gabi hektish u'matana v'chalu. You could say by the other items that they're batel regarding the other halakhic mechanisms. Avalhani dahai pirka metaltalininu. These aren't batel at all. These are what an eved is going to be metaltal to the boat. So therefore, loshna mechar v'loshna matana v'hektish. Kulan shavin bahanhu to lo machar. Those are not included. Right? Those are not batel. Even by hektish and matana, what we might say more is expressed. Shekashem shalom machar kamochein lo maktish v'lo nasan. So in this regard, regarding these items, they are so independent that they will not be included even by matana and hektish. Good. We had a little bit. We have in the Rashbam in the previous parak as well. He said even if you want to include certain metaltalin, but other, if you have money, if you have things that are not connected at all to the item that you're selling, even if you say kol masha besocha, it's not included. It's similar to the idea that the Rashbam says here. We continue. Says the Gemara, Toran Iskaria. Toran, the mass, means Iskaria. That's the tall mass. V'cheinu omer, erez me levanon, lakachu la'asos toran alayach. Right, the pasuk in Yechezkel deriving the erez from Levanon. It says lasos toran. Right, there's the mass of a ksubis, please. Nes edra v'cheinu omer sheish berikma mimitzrayim haya mifrashech lios l'chalanes. Right, coming from Mitzrayim. Ugin, what are Ugin? Tani, thank you. Tani, Rabbi Chia, Elu, Ugnin Shelah. These are the anchors. That's the Ugin. V'cheinu Omer, and that's the pasuk by Rus. When Naomi is trying to convince Rus not to come, what do you want to come with me for? You know, you're going to be, you're not going to be able to get married for a long time. Halohen tesaberna, you're going to wait. Ad asher yigdalu, halohen te'agena. Right, from the Lashon of Aguna. When Aguna is anchored and not able to get remarried. Halohen te'agena levilti hayos la'ish. Right, you're not going to be able to get married. So why do you want to come with me? So, all the different parts of a boat are mentioned here. One more, manhigin. What are the manhigin of the boat? Amar Rabbi Abba, elo hamoshitin shala. These are the oars that help him, that help the boat go. V'cheinu omer, alonin mibashan, asu mishotayich. Right, the lashon of mashot. V'yiba yaseim up. Mehacha v'yardu me'ani yoseyem kol tofsei mashot. So again, we see the word mashot being referred to the oars and a serious part of the boat, and that's why the boat, once you sell the boat, that would be included in, all of these would be included in the boat as well. So this is just one other halachic point. Where does this, how does a halachic point come up here? So the Chashukei Chemed here discusses, we're talking about all the things that are manhig, the boat, are included in the boat, things that help one, direct the boat and push the boat. So what happens in a case where somebody sells a car? Is the GPS included in the sale of the car? Right? That's the moshit, right, in our day and age. That's the first of the two Chashukei Chemeds of the day. Machar mechonit v'hayeba machshir nevat shebem so usonio yodea hanaglan aveta tarechev. Haim gamhu bechlal mekach. So again, if it's part and parcel inside, so then nothing to talk about. Of course, it's part of the boat. But that's maybe in the olden days when it was not connected. You had to stick, not the real olden days, but you had to stick it in and you bring it in. It's a separate entity. So in that case, before the time when everybody had it on their phones, so is that included? Ulafize, who say he quotes our Mishnah, where it talks about the Moshitin and the Manhikim, and he also quotes others. He quotes another one of the Achronim. He says, "No more b'Mishnah Hamocher Sasfina Hamocher as Kol HaManhikim Mosa V'Nirali Degam Oso Akli Shekorin Butzalu Shemistaklim Bo Ladas Pinas Alichasa Mashkefet Gamhu Bichal HaManhikim." So therefore, maybe here too, right? Whatever helps you get to your destination will be included in the Rechev. V'Hu Mahaveh Chelik Me'Amachonit Kiu Mitzarchi Anesia. Unless you say maybe there's a difference. There's a difference between what helps you in the middle of the sea and what helps you on the street. He says, Yesh lachalik, ki asvina hi belev yam, ve'ein lo lamila fanot labirur. What other choice do you have? You have no other way to get to this. This is part and parcel. You need this. You can't have anything. Just try to go on a traveling on a boat without this. As the Rashbam here says, Tashmishe Hasvina. Right, that's different. Right, like the Mishnah says in Gittin, Svina Shavda Bayam. No, sir, only Chomer Chaim and Chomer Mesim. A boat that is lost at sea. You have to be machmir and assume that they might be alive or they might be dead. And the Rambam there explains in the Pirush Mishnayos, Svinish Avda Bayam, Hishe Nishperu Machshireha, Ve'avdu V'nishara Hasvina Pnei Amayim, Mesura L'Mahalech Amayim, V'lo Nishar Ogin, V'lo Meshotos, Kedei L'Chav No Mehen. The Rambam's pshat of Veshna, of the boat is lost at sea, doesn't just mean a storm. It means, you know, that the directional tools that are used were lost. That's what it means, of the bayam. So you see, belima shotos, the speed is nothing. That's different than not having GPS. Aval mechoniyot hanosos biyabasha. Hari nasu belik lenevat shanim rabos. For many years we didn't have this. There was something called maps. There was something called asking directions. V'yesh nahagim rabim she'en lem kli kazeh. And there are many drivers that don't have this. Little by little, less and less. Ukemo chen yachol lanahag lishol lanahagim anosim baderech. You can ask other people for directions. Eich lagil emchos chepsov. Alachein, maybe it's not as part and parcel of the car. Vaday sheinim echlal ikar tashmishi arechev. Alachein ein raya. So it goes back and forth. That's a fascinating lamaisa issue that is related to our discussion. Again, the machshirei meshotos. Right? Different parts of the boat. There is, if you might remember, there's a Gemara in Maseches Ksubis which discusses Rabbi Yochanan and Ilfa, where Ilfa used to, based on the Gemara, maybe we'll look it up in Titus, where the Ilfa and Rabbi Yochanan were friends. Remember the Gemara Titus Daf Chaf Aleph, and they both left the yeshiva. It was they've been there for a long time, and it was time to go, and they both leave. And the Gemara describes how they brought some lunch, and they on their way leaving the yeshiva, they sat down to have some lunch, and there was a dream, and they saw Rabbi Yochanan had a vision, and he saw the Malachim discussing it in Shemayim. Maybe they were under a bridge, a rickety bridge. Maybe we should collapse the bridge on them, right? Because one of these people is supposed to be the next Gadol Hador. Why is he leaving the yeshiva? And Rabbi Yochanan wakes up in a cold sweat and says, "Ilfa, did you hear that?" Ilfa says, "I know what you're talking about." And Rabbi Yochanan says, "I guess I was supposed to hear that. I guess I'm the one." So Rabbi Yochanan goes back to yeshiva, and Ilfa just goes wherever he goes, and Rabbi Yochanan becomes the next Gadol Hador. A lot to talk about this Gemara. Why was it Ilfa's fault? Right, the answer. The Gemara gives a little negative connotation to Ilfa. Right, so the Mefarshim explain. Well, maybe because both of them could have heard the voice, but just Rabbi Yochanan was the one in tune. But either way, the important part for us is the end of the Gemara, where the Rabbi Yochanan says goes back to the yeshiva, and he says Hader Ilfa lo Rabbi Yochanan Hader Ilfa lo Hader Ada Asa Ilfa Malach Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan became the Rosh Yeshiva. Amru lo I Asav Mar Vagaris lo Avi Malach Mar. If Ilfa would have gone back, he was even greater than Rabbi Yochanan. Azal Tala Nafshe Ba Askira Desvinta. Once we're talking about parts of boats, it reminded me of this Gemara. So the Ilfa used to go on the Askira Desvinta, which is like the mast. Rashi there says in Titus Chaf Aleph. Rove assume that this is Rashi. There is a Maris Chayis that says maybe it's not Rashi or Titus, but either way, we'll assume it's Rashi. Klunis eitz aroch takua belev hasvina shemanichan aleha michseh vilon belaz. It's the tall pole that's on the boat. So he used to go lean himself on the tall pole of the boat, and Amar, he used to say, he used to dare people, so to speak. Iika de sholei b'masnisa derbichiv raboshia v'lo pashtina lemi masnisan nafilna meiskari desfinta v'tavana. You could ask me, give me a brisa, I'll tell you where the source of that brisa is in the Mishnah. And if I can't, I'll jump off the boat. I'll drop myself off. And they used to test him, right? It quotes sources, right? It's also here in Ksubas Samach Tes. But either way, the parts of the boat, he dafka went on the part of a boat and dared himself, right? Because that's an ikker part of the boat, as well as one of the items that are mentioned here, the tall pole that is part of the boat, that is nimkar with the boat. Okay, let's continue. Says the Gemara Tana Rabbanan. Hamocher es asfina, machar es iskala, the esbara mayim shebesocha. If somebody sells a boat, then also sold with the boat is the iskala, that is the plank that is used when they get off the boat, second wide line in the Rashbam. Keves shel svida, sheolinbo. V'lashon yavonhu, right? It's the askel you also have in Mesachas Pesachim, but it's the ramp that you push off, that you walk off the boat with. Ves bar hamayim shebesocha. Also, there's a source of fresh water that they used to drink with. That's the bar hamayim on the boat that is also included, because right, you need that to be able to have drinking water. Rabbi Nasan Omer Amocher as Asfina Mocher as a Beitzis. Somebody sells the boat, they also sell the rowboat. What's the Beitzis, the rowboat? When the larger boats cannot go into the shallow water, they remain in the deep, and then you take smaller boats to be able to go to the shore. That's the Beitzis. Sumchis Omer Amocher as Asfina Mocher as a Dugis. Right, he sells the Dukas. What's the Dukas? Amarava, Beitzis, Ainu Dukas. Same thing, just different words. Rabbi Nasan Bafla, Havikari Le Bootsis. He used to call it Bootsis, not Dugas or Basis. Kida Amri Inshi, like people say, depending where you are, different language. Botsisa de Meshan, the small boats of Meshan. So that's what Rav Nassin from Bavel used to call it. Sumchis, the Bar Israel. Sumchis, who was from Eretz Yisrael, he called it Kari Le Dugas Tichziv, because as it says, Vacharizchen Vesiros Duga. As it's the Pasuk says there, that's what in Amos, describing that they'll take the children and the descendants out in boats to Galus, and that's why that's a reference, and that's why Sumchas used that word to describe. Okay, here we go. Amar Rabba. So we are about to start the Rabba Barbarchana Gemaras. There are three blot in the that are right here in the middle of Masechet Bava Basra, in the beginning of Amokar Sabayis. As we look over the next couple of dafim, there are 21 stories that are quoted, some by Rabbi Bar Chana, some by others, some he heard from others. They are some of the most unclear stories in all of Shas. There are two types of groups like this in Shas, the Vilna Gaon has commentary on two of these here. The Gemara is here in Ayin Gimel, Ayin Dal, and Ayin Hey, and there are Gemaras in Meseches Bechoros also. Gemara in Bechoros, there's a separate book, The Juggler and the King, that was the Gemara's commentary on these two sets of Gemaras. The Gemaras in Bechoros, and the Gemaras in Baba Basra here, the Vilna Gaon's commentary were translated by Rabbi Feldman in the book, and we're going to be quoting from it over the next couple of days as well. But either way, these are very enigmatic stories, so we just have to have two or three points related to Agadata in general. Because some of these, even as a machlokas in the Achronim, are any of these meant to be taken literally? Or some of them yes, some of them not. A lot of them are about unbelievably large animals that we can't fathom, the size of these animals. You know, let's just, I guess, start with the Rishonim, start with the Rashbam. The Rashbam says on the 6 wide line, Amar Rabbi Ishtoili V'chulu, Kol Hanu Uvdi, Dekachashiv, Mishum Marabu Ma'asecha Hashem. All of these are also to reflect the unbelievable actions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Marabu Ma'asecha Hashem, and all of his amazing bria, v'yesh mehen lohodia matan scharin shal sadikim lasalavo. And a lot of it is our metaphors in order to express the reward for the tzaddikim in the future. Olafarish mikros hamur b'sefer Eov. Or Eov has difficult psukim to know what they're talking about. So explaining psukim in Eov. Hamadabrim ba'ofos gedolim ubehemos v'dogim gedolim shekol tzichas talmidei chachamim tzricha talmud. Because all the words of the rabbis, of Chazal, require depth and analysis. And we have to realize there is a lot more here than meets the eye. The Ritva says right here, also introducing the sugya, Yesh b'ma'asiyo sheb'perek zeh inyanim zarim l'bnei Adam. We are going to read about very unusual things. There's one story here that we've quoted in the past in other contexts, but most of the others not. So there are stories that seem very strange. L'fishalor hurgalu b'hem. We're not used to the code in which the rabbis talk. V'im dvarim krovim ma'od l'hayodim b'tivam. But those who know the depths of the stories realize ki'inyan godel adagim shevaya v'godel saras galayam, the waves and the fish. V'yesh gam b'masios elu inyanim nirmazim. Some of them have to do with nature, and some of them have to do with just hidden things. Shalohayu nirin lahem b'maras ha'ayin el b'mara ha'chalom. Some of them were not seen, but they were visions that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them. V'zeki k'shachachamim ochim b'yam okiyanis. Why do many of them, as we'll see, many of the stories start? He says, the people who go down to sea told me, because often when you're alone at sea, says the Ritva, and we're having his bodedus, that's when we might have visions. Right? We don't have visions when we're like in the shopping mall. Right, we have visions when we're at sea, when we're alone. The gam sheim sham is bodedim umechashvim minyanim noroim beneflaim. The Chazal think about the depths of the creation. Ubeis hashena, or maybe when they're sleeping. Yiralahem peinyan hirhurim inyanim neflaim morim al ha'inyan. Okay, and then he quotes the Gaonim. The Gaonim say whenever he says l'didi chazili, it was mara hachalom. Okay, and he says it was in the yam okianus. When all of these would occur. And one final point in the Rishonim, we have the Rashbam, we have the Ritva, and maybe most important is the Rambam. The Rambam writes, this we've quoted in the past, the Rambam writes in his Akdama to Chelek, there are three general approaches that one could take to all Agadata. What is Agadata? Agadata is doesn't only mean stories. Agadata in Shas is all the non-halachic parts of Gemara. There's a lot of everything within Agadata. But when the Rambam here talks about Agadata, he's talking about the stories. So there are three ways to understand the approach to take. The Rambam says, one of them I feel bad for, one of them I'm angry about because they're Rishayim, and one of them is exactly what we believe. So number one, the Rambam says, HaRishona, Nechlegu b'nei Adam l'shalosh kitos, in terms of how we view Agadatos like this. HaRishona, v'hi rov mimasha ra'isi. What he says, many people I think out there, Vashera Isi Bechiburav, what I saw in many of the books, Umasha Shamati Allah, and what I heard, Hey Ma'aminim Osam Apshatam. Many people out there take everything literally. They take everything literally. It said, so why shouldn't it? So there's a humongous fish, there's a humongous bird. The Ein Sov Rimbohem Pirish Nistar B'Shum Panim. They don't hold of any hidden message that Chazal is trying to give to us. V'hanimna Os Kulan, and all the things that seem impossible. Hein Atzlam Mechuyavos Abetzias. It really happened to Chazal. That's how many people think. Va'amnam osin kein l'fi shlo hevinu achachmas, and they do this because many of them are not literate. Many of them don't have the depths of intellect. Ve'em rechokim min atfunos ve'em bo'em min ashlemus k'dei sheyis oru me'alem. They it's just beyond their capabilities where they're up to. Says the Rambam right now that there it's just the science that they're not used to. It's like, let's say, to give the mashal, trying to explain physics to a dog. Right, he doesn't have the kalim right now. A dog, that's not a really good mashal, because a dog cannot be trained to know physics, while the human being can be trained to understand the depths of knowledge. But either way, the Rambam says that they say, nobody ever taught them that there is so much depth to the knowledge. V'yalva bishanira mixas divrehem, yesh behem and adiba, v'arichlim and asechel, v'chulu v'chulu, and he says, you know, the Rambam says, "V'ha'yu amrim hechi takin shei ba'olam adam sheyachshov kazeo yamin sheyemuna nachona kavachomer sheita be'enav." He says, "This is the kat anias hadas yesh luhitz ta'er alem l'sichlusam." I feel bad for them, says the Rambam. He sympathizes with them. I'm in pain because they're not getting the proper perspective. Lufi, but I'm not. I'm not anti them. They're being mechabed the rabbis. They're just saying we don't understand how this is possible, but it must be possible. And you know, we just can't figure it out. Lafishe machabdim umenasim achachamim kafi daitam. They mashpilam osam betaklus ashiflus veimeinim avim. They don't do it on purpose, and that's number one. Then we have the second group, says the Rambam. Those who also take it literally, but because they take it literally and they reject that this was possible, so therefore they reject with the words of the rabbis must be wrong, and the rabbis must, everything must be wrong. If this is wrong, then other things are wrong too. And this is the second group of the apikursim. And the Rishon, the Rambam says, "Niftim guruei haseichel schalim bechlal hametzius ad shlo lo masigim divrei hachachma v'rov anechshalim b'zeh hashibush misyachsim lachachmas harefua ma'avila b'gziras kochavim." There are many philosophers and many doctors that have the attitude because maybe they feel like we understand everything, and if we can understand this, then it must be wrong. V'kamehem rechokim in ha'anoshus etzel osam sheim chachamim u'filosofim ala emes v'hi kat aru. It's a cursed kat, the chulu, and they influence others. But then the Rambam says, of course, the third approach, which is our approach as well. The kat ashlishis v'heim chay Hashem ma'atim ad ma'od ad she'ein roi lekrosam kat. You shouldn't even call them a group. Right, there's not enough people to call them a group. Ela kemoshe yamer l'shemesh min v'raki yichida, just like you call the sun a type of creation, even though it's unique. So too here, there's very few people that believe in this. V'heim osam and adam shenizbara eslam gedulas hachachamim zichronim levracha v'tov sichlam. And remember, in the days of the Rambam, most people out there weren't literate. Right, most of the Jews weren't literate, so a lot of them were in category number one. Right, the Rambam, how many were in category number three here? The Rambam says, "V'nis amis lohem shedivreim yishlo nigle v'nistar v'chihem b'choma she'omrim and advarim hanimnoim dibru b'hem b'derachida u'mashal." There are riddles, there are mishalim. Ki hu zeh derech hachamim gadol. This is what the rabbis did, and there's so much depth to everything. And if we don't understand something, we don't appreciate something, we have to know that the chisaron's in us. The chisaron is not in the rabbis. Ve'ech yikshe aleinu lizbar pirush al divrehem ulo tziyem ipshatam k'dei sheyeyus la seichel v'yaskim im ha'emes v'kis v'yakodesh v'chulu, and he continues. So in the Rishonim, we have the Rashbam, all these stories about Marabu Masach Hashem, we have the Ritva. We have to realize that there's a lot out there that they had visions, and the Rambam, the three different categories. One final point, and then we'll get into the stories, and that is the Ramchal. The Ramchal has a Maimer on Agada in the Hagdama to the Ein Yaakov, where he discusses that even when the Rabbanan wrote down Torah Shebal Peh, they still wanted to keep certain ideas secret that wasn't open to everyone. And that is why they did this. That is why they wrote certain things in mashal, in riddles, in code, because certain deep ideas they didn't want everybody to read. Unless you really have a melus and you're ready to work and commit yourself to work hard and try to figure out every detail, the symbol of every detail, okay, if you work hard and figure it out and have a melus batorah, so then you can figure it out. But if not, you're not going to be able to just read it and understand. That's why they did it. That's why they did it. And therefore, with that introduction, we now get into some of the stories. Again, we can talk more about Hakdama, but now let us go into the stories themselves. Okay, here we go. Amar Rabba. Ishtoi linu chuseyama. The ones who went down to sea, they are the ones that taught me this. The Ben Yoyada says, maybe it means the Sea of Torah. Doesn't mean literally the sea, right? The ones who have depth of knowledge of Torah, they're the ones that taught me the following. Story number one. Hai gala d'matva l'svina. That wave that tries to sink a boat, right? The big waves that try to sink a boat. Let's first translate, and then we'll try to talk about some of the symbolism of some of the stories. The waves that try to sink the boat. Mischazi kitzutzisa denura chivarta bereisha. The tips of the waves have like a tzutz, like the word tzitzis. The fringe has white fire at its top. Right? You see, the top of a wave is white on top. Umachinan le, and the way that you could kill it and hit it and stop the wave, umachinan le ba'alvasa, you could hit it with a club, with a stick, the chakik ale, that is written on the stick, Hashem's name. Eka asher eke, ka Hashem svakos, amen, amen, sela. If you use that stick, vinayich, and then the wave will rest and it won't hurt you. That is story number one. Many of the Mefarshim, including the Ben Yehoyada, including the Vilna Gaon here, say that the wave is talking about the Yetzahara. Right, the wave, we're trying to go through life, and these waves try to drown us. The waves of taiva and kina and kavod, right? All of those try to drown us. Says the Ben Yehoyada. Mechusa yam hei machachamim ayordim laomek torah shval peh. Tchsiv barachave mina yam v'hagala hayetzahara demitematbea lesvinta hu gufa adam. The boat is us. Right, and he says it, and he comes like a wave. What does it mean that it's white on top? Says the Gra, says the Ben Yoyada. White usually symbolizes purity. White symbolizes good. Right? That's not black, it's not red. So why white? So he says exactly, because at the beginning, when the Yetzer comes, he tries to dress up like a mitzvah. He tries to dress up like the Eitz HaTov, try to convince us that what we're doing is positive. Like the Mesul Sisharm talks about, right? We have to be a fashfesh and yemaispesh b'maisav. Not just mitzvahs versus averus. Even within our mitzvahs, to make sure that the mitzvahs that we're doing are mitzvos and the averus that we're not doing are averus. That's the danger of the Eitz Sahara. The Chavetz Chaim discusses this often. I'll just read you once. And the Chavetz Chaim al HaTorah, he talks about this on the Haftorah for Parshas Bahaloscha, right? Which is also the Haftorah for Shabbos Chanukah, where the Pasuk is quoted in Zechariah. The Satan stands on his right side to be mastin. So usually, the Satan, the right side is usually the positive, good side, and the left side is the negative. So why does it say here the Satan is omed al yamino? Says the Chavetz Chaim, because the Satan sometimes knows he can't succeed against us. You know, and the normal try to do averis. He'll dress up like a mitzvah. He'll dress up like a mitzvah, right? Let's do a mitzvah or a chesed very late into the night, not thinking about how my chakras is going to be the next morning, or staying up late learning in the base medrash and oversleeping in the morning. That's not the Eitz HaTov. That's the Eitz HaHara. He says, "V'imroy Eitz HaHara." Shein b'kocho lahatos es atzman adam she smola azayhu pone liyamin klomer mishtadelu ledaber libo shiase mitzvah b'shola hamshicho min ha-mitzvah elo avera v'yala adam suma lios tamid or ula hashgiach v'ein pikicha ala yetzahara. We have to be so careful. And then he quotes that example. Ye yetzahara me'iris ha-adam b'boker mishen aso mitzaveh lalechaz abeis ha-kneses. He tells you to go to shul. What do you do in shul? L'saper ben yishabach liyotzer l'daber b'shas kriyas ha-torah. Even if I'm doing a mitzvah, he'll say, oh yeah, let's go, let's schmooze in shul, let's talk lashon hara in shul. He'll try to get into, the Yitzhar will try to infiltrate into our mitzvos, even to bring us down through that way. That's the white of the Yitzhara on the top of the waves, and it's obviously our job to do what we can to overcome that, and to make sure we analyze so clearly, right, our mitzvahs. I think we mentioned also in the past that Mesil Sharma, towards the end of the Sefer, in Perek Chaf, he discusses how often sometimes in Chazal we find, or even before Chazal, right, Gedalia ben Achikam, the Gemara in Nita Samach Aleph, Gedalia, right, was the representative of Nebuchadnezzar, and he was assassinated by a fellow Jew, by Yishmael, and he was warned, Yishmael's going to try to hurt you, and he says, no, he's a great guy, don't worry about it. He was down Lakav Schus. But the Gemara faults him for that, right? Kabdeyu v'chashdeyu, right? You can't just do a mitzvah blindly and not think whether there are negative repercussions. He gives that example. And the other example the Mesul Sharm gives is Zachariah ben Avkulis in Maseches Gittin, when Bar Kamsa comes with the animal of the Caesar, and he had put a mum in it, And the rabbi's like, okay, what are we going to do? We better give it anyway because the Caesar's going to be very upset. He said, no, people are going to say you can give Bali Mumin al Gabi Abizbeach. No, then they say, okay, let's just kill Bar Kamsa. No, people are going to say you're Chai Misa if you bring a Bali Mumin to the Bizbeach. So it ended up, the Gemara ends up saying, Zechariah ben Avkulis, his Anava led to the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Very unclear whether the Gemara is complimenting him or saying something negative about him. The Ramchal's pshat is that it's something negative, that he thought he was doing a mitzvah, but really he was not. Really, what he did led to the Churban Abayis, and this is all maybe alluded to in the white of the waves, assuming the waves are considered the Yetzer Hara. Story number one. Story number two, Amar Rava. Amar Rava, again, we're not going to go into all of these stories, but just to know, the Ben Yehoyada, the Maharal, the Vilna Gaon, there are many that go into the depths of each of these details. Amar Rabbi, Shtoli Nechuzayama, Ben Gala Lagala, between each wave, Tlasmeya Parsi, there's 300 parses. Veruma de Gala, Tlasmeya Parsi, and the height of a wave is 300 parsa. Zimna Chada, one time, Havi Azlina and Bo'urcha, we were going on the way, Vidalina and Gala, the wave lifted us up, Ad Chazinon Bay Murabata de Koch Vazuta. We were so high, we saw the resting place of a small star. Or maybe it was at night, and they felt like they were in the Shamayim, if you say this is literal. Vahavule Kimavazer, and that place, where the resting place where the star was huge. Kibavazer, where you could spread and sow, our boyin garyue bizra de chardula. Put out a ton of mustard seeds. Vidalina tved, if it would have been lifted up higher, have a maklin on mehevle. We would have been burned from the hevel, from the atmosphere of the star. Verami la gala kala lechaverta, and we heard one wave saying to its friend, chaverti. Right, my friend, Shavakta Midi Ba'alma Delosha Tafte, is there anything in the world that has not been flooded? Right, one wave says to the other wave, which is huge. Denesi Anav and Abde, that I could go, meaning have you not covered any area in the world? Amar Lei says, yeah, Puk Chazi Gevurta Demarech. Go see the master of your servant, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Malei Chuta Chala Velo Avri. What happens? HaKadosh Baruch Hu created sand. There's sand that deflects and makes sure that the world is not flooded. Shene'emar, ha'osi lo tira'u nu'um Hashem, imi panai lo tachilu, asher samti chol gvul ayam, chok olam velo yavrinu. Sounds like the pasuk in Berachi Nafshi. Also, ha'glasam velo yavar, the waves discussing amongst themselves. Again, if you continue this, the mashal of the Yetzirah, you can talk also about the Yetzirah tries different taivas, one taiva, one strategy is to the other strategy. They try to make us lose ourselves and to one might even say, following the message from before, bring us up so high, but to end up, we're going to get burned by being so high because we're not focusing exactly on what we're doing. Also about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's amazing Bria, that the Mishnah talk about the waves are so strong, but when we look at the ocean, what should we think? We should see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Each wave tries to come and flood the sea, and what happens, then it goes back. The wave comes, and then the tide goes back and forth and back and forth. The sand, which is so soft, the sand creates an imaginary wall so that the waters cannot flood the earth. Number two. Number three, third to last line. Amar Rabba, Lididi Chazili Herman Barlilis. I saw Herman Barlilis. Who is Herman Barlilis? Different days in the Rishonim. Either this means a demon or a person who knew about the demons. Herman Barlilis. Kika Rohit Akufya. Some type of demonic being. Right? So what happened in this story, and then we'll see maybe some of the juggler and the king on this story. Kika Rohid Akufya Deshura de Mechuza. He was running by the walls of Mechuza. Virat Parsha Ki Rachiv Chiyusa Mitatoi. This demon was on the walls, and there was a chariot underneath. Ki Rachiv Chiyusa Mitatoi. That was with a chariot that was going with animals next to the walls. Velo Yachile, and the demon couldn't keep up with the chariot. Couldn't keep up. The chariot was going ahead. What is that? What does that teach us? Says the Rashbam on the second to last line. V'hai uvda lohodiya tzidkosav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To teach us the great tzedek of Hashem. Shemarachim al briyosa ve'inonosim rishus la'ilu la'azikan v'gam shel alatzis baderach yachid. We have no idea how often Hashem saves us and protects us. We have no idea. Right here, the people in the chariot have no idea that there's a demon on top of the wall. But and what does it say? That they stay one step ahead of the demon. What is that teaching us? Kadosh Baruch Hu protects us. Hashem doesn't let the demons affect us, and even if we don't realize it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is behind the scenes. Right? They say that one time there was somebody from another religion that came to Rav Chaim Volozhin, or you know, fill in the blank of which rabbi. I heard it about Rav Chaim Volozhin, that we say in Hallel, Halos Hashem kol goyim shavchu kol umim ki gavar aleinu chasto v'yemes Hashem li'olam haleluka. Right? So ask the other religious figure, you know, we're going to praise Halos Hashem kol goyim. Why are we going to praise, you know, God? Ki gavar aleinu chasto. We're going to praise God that the Jews had chesed? What does that mean? It says Rav Chaim Volozhin, most of the things that the Umos HaOlam want to do to us, we have no idea. Hashem stops it before it happens. We know sometimes when we have a salvation, but so often, probably so often, right? We don't even realize that they had plans to hurt us, to do things to us, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us. So, La'asilava, when Mashiach comes, when everything becomes clear, you're going to know more about the salvations than us. And that's why Elu Hashem kol goyim ki gavar aleinu chasto, because of the chesed on us. So you're going to praise even more than us, because you're going to know more about what you had wanted to do. So that's the running ahead of the demon, which is on top of the wall. Zimnachada havimisarganla tarti kudanaisi. One time, two mules were saddled for him. Vikaimon atre gishri derugnag, and they were on the two bridges by Rugnag. Rashi says, Rashbam says, shame oso anahar vayirachokin zemizeh. Right back to the Gemara of Eshavar, Mehai Lahai, Mehai Lahai. And this demon was jumping from one mule to the other mule, which was very far away from each other. Right, the Gra says here that maybe it symbolizes that we juggle one physical mule is like Gashmias. We juggle one physical pursuit and another physical pursuit. Vinakatri Mazgid the Khamer Biyade, and he holds two cups of wine in his hand, Umorik Mehai Lahai, Umehai Lahai, and he pours from one to the other, Volonatva ni tufaisalaara, and not one drop falls. Right, again, maybe symbolizing our predilection and our focus on whatever Gashmi thing that we're involved in. V'oso ayom, and on that day that he was doing all this, yalu shamayim yeredu tehomos ave, right, like the pasuk describes it, tehillim, there was shaking all and earthquakes all over the world. Ad shamu be malchusa v'katzluha, until the be malchus heard about what was going on. What does this mean? Right, different pshatim in the Rashbam. Was it a human king? Was it the king of the demons? Right, then they took care of this being. Right, the Rashbam on the sixth skinny line. Be malka deshidi shein darko shal shei laharus lebnei adam. Why they get upset at him? Because you can't give away the demon to the humans. Right, it's all secret. You don't want to give away. So he started to do things that caused the world to shake, so that he was giving away the cover of the demons, and that's why Baharguhu Meshahai Magalas Odam. He was killed by the other demons because he was being Magala, he was giving over their secret. The Ista Amar, or the other day is Be Malka Kesar, Sheiresh Lo Yitel Amachos Bimanu, She Oso Shein Me Adam, Haba'al Shida. This was a demon human somewhere in the middle, and therefore even the human would be able to get rid of him. Okay, number three. Number four next. Amar Rabba, Ladidi Chazile, Urzila Bar Yome. I once saw a goose, Urzila Bar Yome, that was a day old, Tavika Har Tavor, that was as big as Har Tavor. Remember the Medrash? Har Tavor wanted the Torah. And Har Sinai, and Har Carmel, Har Tavor, say, I'm the tallest mountain. So, I saw a goose as tall as Har Tavor. Bahar Tavor Kamahavi, Arba Parsi. Four Parsos. Umashri the Tzavare Tlasa Parsi, and its neck was three parsa high. Ubei Mirabata, and its resting place, Dereshi of its head, Parsu Palka. Rama, right, a huge, huge goose. Rama Kufta, Vesachle Liardin. And even when it went to the bathroom, and it relieved itself, it like damned the whole Yardin. Meaning it was huge. It was a huge goose. End of story. Right, what does that mean? So says the Gra here in the Juggler and the King. This is on page 46. The stories are not exactly in order. He picks a few of the stories and explains the Gra's commentary on the stories. He says the young goose, the day old goose, somebody who starts learning. Talking about a Talmud Chacham who's just starting to learn. Maybe he's not even a Talmud Chacham yet, right? A Torah scholar is compared in these passages to three animals: a bull, a donkey, and a mountain goat. Each of these represents a stage in the development of an accomplished Talmud Chacham, and then he discusses that I saw a day old, I mistranslated. We're going to get to the goose. The Urzila is a Re'eim. A Re'eim is like a type of mountain goat, right? The Re'eim. So what is this, what does it mean? It means that, he just started learning and he thinks he's God's gift to the world already. He thinks he's the God of Ador, the Rashka Bahag. He's learning a little bit and he thinks he's Har Tavor. He thinks he's, knows everything. A young Torah scholar should concentrate all his efforts on absorbing and understanding his teacher's wisdom, just as a donkey faithfully carries its master's loads. First must come the amassing of information and organizing it into meaningful structures. After that comes the analysis of the wisdom, the struggle to descend to its depths, and the development of one's own insights. V'chulu. But what happens when a student prematurely presumes himself to be an accomplished scholar instead of sitting at his teacher's feet? He considers presenting his own ideas, v'chulu. He loses his capacity to accept, even from his own teacher. He thinks he's Har Tavor, right? Har Tavor and Har Carmel believe themselves worthy of being the site of giving the Torah, right? Har Sinai didn't think they were worthy. That's the way you become a leader in Torah. When we think we're not Ra'i, that's when you become Ra'i, right? One of my kids once asked me, how did so-and-so become the God of Adar? Like, he didn't choose to become the God of Adar. He was chosen by others to be the God of Adar. If we ever, go through our lives, a great rabbi thinks, I want to be the God of Adar, and I want to be, then they're not going to be. Right? They're like Har Tavor and Har Carmel. Right? If we run away from Kavod, the Kavod Baracha runs after us, by all the great, our greatest leaders. That is what we know from. And that's why this Re'eim, this one-day-old Re'eim, thinks he's always the best. Right, they have to realize that Gaiva brings us down. Rav Soloveitchik has the beautiful piece that we mentioned in the past in Reflections of the Rav about Korach, called the Common Sense Rebellion, where Korach thought he was God's gift to the world. Right, he didn't argue with Bezalel about architecture. He argued with Moshe. Because very often we learn a little bit and we think that we could be the world's biggest posek, and we have to spend many, many decades with Torah and Amelus and Yirat Shemayim. And then eventually, something could happen. But Rachman al-Islan, so often we have the Korach attitude that we know a little bit, that we think that we can make halachic and Torah decisions without speaking to our leaders and our teachers. So that's the message of story number four, one of the messages. Next, V'yamar Rabbi Rachman al-Di Chazi Li Hahu Ak Roksa. I saw a frog, Daviki Akra Dagronia, that was as big as Akra Dagronia. Vyaka Dagrona Kamahavi Shisenbate, 60 houses, huge. Asa Tanisa Bala, there was another sea monster that came and ate the frog. Asa Pushkansa, there was another type of a female raven, Ubala La Tanina, that ate the Tanina. Vesala Yasabilana, and then it went and then it stayed on a branch of a tree. Must have been a huge, if it was a bird, the frog was smallest, was eaten by the sea monster, by the raven, must have been a very strong branch of the tree. The strength of that tree must have been unbelievable. If I wouldn't have been there, I wouldn't have seen it. So again, what does this mean? The Gra and others say maybe a frog, never stops talking. Right? You always hear croaking and the sounds. Tamid chachamim. Right? They never stop learning. Torah is always coming out of their mouths. 60? What? 60? Maybe 60 mesachtas. Right? There's different symbolism of every detail. Either way, this might be about on Melus Batorah. We have to go more and more and more, and swallowed up means we swallow up our previous state. We're more on Melus Batorah. Different messages that can one we can think. Next, Yomar Rabbi Bachana, third wide line. Zimna Chad Avika Azlina Besvinta. One time I was going on a boat. V'chazina Ukavra. I saw a fish. Diyasvilei Achlatina Buusye. Achlatina is a type of insect. I saw a fish that a certain insect went into its nostril. And what happened? The Bach Yadzin Umis, and the fish died. V'itchuha Maya Vishadua Laguta. And then the water threw the fish onto the dry land, out of the shore, Laguda, the Charev Mineshis and Mochuzi. And when it was thrown on there, 60 cities were destroyed because it was so big. Vachol Mineshis and Mochuzi. And then 60 cities were able to eat from the flesh of the fish. Umalchim Mineshis and Mochuzi. Another 60 cities took the fish and salted it and kept it for the future. Umil Umichad Galgala de Ene Tlasvi Agari Mishcha. And from one of its eyeballs, they got 300 Garev barrels of oil. The Chihadra and the Basar Tracy Archishasa, and even after coming a year later back, Chazidan, they saw that become a Nasri, Migarmi, Metalalta, they were sawing from its bones to get boards, the Yasvila Mivninu, Hanach Bechuzi. because they were going to build up the cities that had been destroyed. They were building them again. Okay, again, a huge fish, what the symbolism is. We don't have time to go into each one of these, but feel free. We're going to do the next one, though. V'yamar Abba Barchana. If any of them are known at all, this one is the one that people might be familiar with. Zimna chada vika azlina besvinta. One time we were going on a boat, v'chazina nu kavra, diyasvile achalsa agabe. And we saw a fish, that already gives away the story. When you say over the story, you don't have to say that. They saw an area which had sand on it, on its back. V'kadach agma ilave, and there was stuff growing on it. Savrinan yabeshtihi, we thought that it was dry land. Visalkinan, viafinan, ubashlina agabe, and we started having supper, we started living on it, and it started a barbecue on the back of this, we thought it was an island. Vikancham gabe is hafech. But when it got too hot, the whole fish turned over, because we realized that it was not a fish, an island, it was a fish. Vilo tahavi makarva svinta havitavinan. And if we wouldn't have been close by, havitavinan, we would have drowned. What's the message? Sometimes in life we think that we're on an island. We think we're on terra firma. We think we're on something solid. And then the whole world turns over. Something happens and it's really a fish. It's not an island. And if we're not close to what? One could say, close to one's connection to Torah, close to one's connection to one's family. One, have a svinta, they would have drowned. They need something to get them through life, right? Sometimes life turns around and we have to realize that we're not in charge of life. In this context, we like to quote the Gemara at the end of Sota, where the Gemara says, the Mishnah says at the end of Sota, when certain Tanon died, certain Midos were no longer, and one of them was Anava. Mishameis Rebbe Batla Anava. When Abiyud HaNasi died, the humility was taken from the world. So the second to last line in Sota, Rav Yosef says, Lotisni Anava Diika Ana. No, don't write Anava, because Ana, I'm still here. Right, what does that mean? Rav Yosef says, no, Anava is still around, because I'm still here. So many different pshatim. Either Ana is that, the Gra says Ana is a name of a Tana in the Yerushalmi, and others say Ana means that it's the Ana inside of you. Right, there's no Anava, because realize it's not you. It's the special Tzelem Elokim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you. Either way, but one pshat, once heard, is that Rav Yosef is talking here. Rav Yosef, we know throughout Shas, he forgot his learning, he was sick, his Talmidim remind him of what he used to teach them. Rav Yosef says, you want to know about Anava? Look at my life. You want to know, Anava is about realizing that you're not in charge. That's me. Lotisni Anava, Ti'ika Ana, I'm here. You can learn Anava from my life. That's this Gemara. Right? Sometimes we think it's we're in charge, we're on solid ground, and it turns into a fish. Right? That's the message of story number 7. We continue. V'yomer Rabba Barbar Chana, Zimnachada, Haviazlinim, Besvinta. I was going on a boat, Vesagi Svinta, Bein Shitsa, Lashitsa, Dekavra. And the boat was going between one fin of a fish to another. Right? There was a humongous fish, and we were going from the front of the fish to the back of the fish, and one fin in the front, one fin in the back. Tzlosa yomim v'tzlosa leilvasa. 3 days and 3 nights we were going. Iyu b'zakifa v'anam b'shipula. And even we were going, again, going from one side to the other side, and one was going against the wind, one was going with the wind. We were going down, right, which was with the wind, and he was going up. And still, we couldn't make it after less than 3 days. V'chitem alo maskina maski svita tuva. And if you think the boat was very slow, no. Kiyasa revdimi amar kamecham kumkuma demaya, like the time it takes to heat up water. Maski shisin parsi. The boat went 60 parsos. Right, it was very fast. V'shadi parsha gira, and you would shoot an arrow. V'kadmalei, and the boat would even go faster than the arrow. Meaning, it was a humongous fish. V'yamar avashi hu gildana de yamahave. It was called the gildana of the sea. The islay tre shaitzi that has two fins, one in the front, one in the back. That's the story about a humongous fish that is described. Next, V'yamar av barachana. Story number 9. Zimna chadi ave aslin besvinta. We were going on a boat. V'chazina nehu tzipra. We saw a bird. Tekaim ad kartzule bimaya. The bird was up to its ankles in water. V'reishi barakia, and its head was in the heavens. V'yamrinon lekamaya. We said, oh, maybe it's very shallow water. It's still an amazing miracle, but maybe it's very shallow water. That's why it's only up to the ankles. U'beinan lachus lakure nafshin, and we were going to go take a little swim in the water. V'navak baskal of Amarlon, and a heavenly voice went out and said, no, lo techusu hacha, don't go in that water. You know how deep that water is? D'naflis le chatzitza lebarnagra, an axe of a carpenter fell there. Hashev shani 7 years, v'lo kamati ha'ara still hasn't hit the ground. Right, again, there's a lot of symbolism here. What does this mean? V'lav mishum de nefishe maya, and it's not only because there's so much water, the depths, ela mishum de radfi maya. The water is so violent, going back and forth. Radfi maya. Amar avashi ahu ziz sadaihu, that's what that bird is called, d'chsiv, v'ziz sadai imadi. The Ritva says here, maybe this is a mashal to the gullios that we're in. Right, all the waves and the depths, we think that it's shallow, says the Ritva here. The Ritva here says maybe that's the message of this line, right? It's talking about the gullios and we're thrown from back and forth. Hu kavra kiroshi yavo mayim yamim li yisrael sheyu begolus b'shalva ubezut tzarach lishbar tarasam yosar ki aruah kal mehero ver, right? It could blow us down. Bechulu, I'm sorry, here it is. Maisa tziparta tekarsuli b'maya borer hu shehu al yisrael diavagav diikashi ben golios oskim batora upamim sherotzem lismoach el gilo amim v'nizokin v'ayin ma she'amru ziz sadaihu. And the Ritva says it's talking about the golios that we are in, that we are still suffering from ad hayom hazeh. Okay, we'll have to stop here by story number 10. By the Shem, next time again, the next couple of days it'll be put up from the last cycle. We'll pick up on Monday, and then over the next week or two, with Yontif, it'll be not a regular schedule, but by the Shem, we'll work out to get every daf up. Okay, we'll stop here.